Alrighty, last time I was up in front of you here, we were going through the book of Titus, and we got through the first chapter. We started on the second chapter, but we just did the first verse in the second chapter. So just a quick review, if you want. The book of Titus is Paul's letter to Titus, Paul's trusted friend and a Greek believer. His traveling companion, he left Titus in Crete to oversee or handle the churches that they were getting started there, and to appoint overseers and elders in the churches around the island of Crete. And Paul is writing the letter to, in the first chapter we looked at, actually this is a book of the character of the leaders in the church, the characters of the body of the church, and how the church should be operating and looking in. In the first chapter, we went over what was the overseers and the elders, how they should be teaching God's word, how they should be behaving and looking like being appointed to oversee the body of the church, and what Paul was giving, instructing Titus on how the body of the church should be looking like, and should I say living and behaving. Okay. In this second chapter, we're going to go through verses 1 through 10 again, and we already did verse 1 the last time, but we'll reread it. But this is actually talking to Titus. Paul telling Titus is the character of the believers, how the believers should be behaving and acting, the body of the church, how it should be rightly living in the church. And he's telling Titus, as we'll see here in a second, that you should be the example. If you're going to be overseeing these people and telling them how to run the churches, you ought to be living out that walk. You ought to be talking that talk and living that walk, walking that walk. So we'll get into chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 1 of Titus. Everybody there? Alrighty. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience. The older women likewise, that they may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, and that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that the one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say about you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. If we go back to verse 1, which we went through last time I was up here in front of you, but as for you, speak which are proper for sound doctrine. And we found out that sound in the Greek is true. Hugiaino, okay, stands for true. And doctrine, didaskaleia, means instruction or teaching. In other words, true instruction, true teaching. Okay, so we got that far the last time. And so going on to verse 2, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, and in love, and in patience. And we'll go in that one. So going to verse 2, Paul is telling Titus, giving him instructions for how the older men should be behaving and acting. As we'll see in chapter 2, we're not only talking about the older men. We're not going to be just talking about them. We're talking about both genders. We're talking about men and women, young and old. There's going to be a mix, as we can see here. I mean, we have children here tonight, but there's going to be a mix in the church. It's going to be young and old, and issues are going to arise. I mean, there's going to be things that we're going to have to work out, you know, and Paul is giving instructions to Titus on how the older men in this scripture, in this verse, should be sound in faith and love and in patience. And I can already tell you, I mean, well, I turned 58 a few weeks ago, last month, but even at 58, I mean, with my grandkids, I got to be patient, I got to be loving, I got to be kind. Sometimes I want them around, sometimes I don't, you know. It's like, and this is, you know, we have to be living that example out for our family. Not only our family, but we're the body of Christ. And people are watching the way we act and the way we talk and walk and do everything else. So with the older men, I mean, we you know, there's stuff. It's like sometimes we get to where it's like we're set in our ways. And there's things that, you know, as the body of Christ, we can't be. We can't be. If we've got Jesus living inside of us, we have to act, talk, and walk the way Jesus wants us to, the way Jesus desires. If we've got a God-centered life, and we're talking about our character here, what people are looking at us, how we're acting and how we're talking, if it's God-centered, if it's Jesus-centered, I mean, we ought to be doing the things that pleases Him, not just ourselves. There's going to be a mix in the church. Issues will arise. Paul is telling Titus to watch as the church comes together, living out their faith, how they should be acting. Again, the older, elder, more experienced Christians should be living out their faith to the younger by example. Okay, let's go to verse 3. The older women, likewise, that they may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things. The older women, likewise, just as we were talking about as the older men. They ought to be giving the example to the younger women of how to admonish. And that, let me see, where did I have that? In Greek, no, that's another hard one. The pastor says to work on this, but it's hard. Nuteteo, to put into their minds, to caution or reprove gently. And it's like the older women are to gently, sort of like give or lightly stern advice that, hey, we ought to be treating your husbands this way and treating your children this way, and just the way, you know, the body of the church, how Christ wants us to live with love, patience, kindness, reverence. In by example, to love their families, their husband, their children, how again by experience, again the older women, be example to be good wives and mothers, so that people look at how these women are living their lives out, as not to blaspheme the word of God. If they're saying, hey, if they're living by God's word, it looks good to me. I mean, there's nothing I can see wrong with the way they're living. It looks good to me, and God gets all the glory for that. He looks at our lives and gets the glory. Our faith is Christ-centered. With Jesus at the center, He should be overflowing into everything we say and do. Amen. Okay? Oftentimes, a Christ-centered life is equated with these instructions Paul is giving, to be sober-minded, to be patient in good works, showing integrity and reverence. But even with going to church, even with praying, reading the Bible, telling people about Jesus, even if you do every one of these things, it's still possible to live a life controlled by self rather than by Christ. religious activities can be done for a variety of reasons that have nothing to do with our love for Jesus. So as Paul is telling Titus in how men and women are to be, sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience, the answer is not to give up on these good activities, not to give up on aspiring to this stuff. It's to shift our focus, better not to shift our focus away, but let our focus get back on track in what Christ desires for us, back to what He wants, what He desires. A Christ-centered life is fueled by love for the Savior, which flows from increasing knowledge of Him. And if we learn to love Jesus more intimately through reading, prayer, spending quiet time with Him, His power, His Holy Spirit overflows into our hearts, and it becomes a delight of our hearts and our lives. In turn, a Christ-centered life overflows in our speech, our character again, in our conduct, in our actions, what we say and do. And who's supposed to get the glory? God. God gets all the glory and honor for the way His Holy Spirit is living through us. Not for the way we want to live for Him, but the way He wants us to live through His Holy Spirit. Let's go to the next verse. Let's go to verse 5. Oh, wait a minute, I read that, right?
Verse 6, yeah.
Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded. Let's just stop there with verse 6. Exhort, parakaleo in the Greek, to call near, to invite, to call to one side, sort of like parallel, you know. Exhort the young men. It's like, hey, let me, come here, guy, you know. It's take him under your arm and hey, let's study the Scripture. Let's learn what Christ has, what God has said in His Word, what Christ has shown us. Let's make sure that we're walking the walk and talking the talk. Let's make sure we're doing it right. Let's go alongside. In other words, put your arm around your brother, bring him alongside of you, and let's learn together to walk the godly way. If we go to verse 7, in all things, continuing, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility. Paul's telling Titus, hey, you got to be the example. You're going to be just like our pastor is for us. He's got to be the example of what we should be looking to as we're following God's Word, reading God's Word, living out God's Word. And I should have finished it with verse 8. I'm sorry. Let's reverence, incorruptibility, and let's go to verse 8. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say about you. So in other words, first Paul's telling Titus, hey, you be the example, but then it's like that anybody who tries to demean or say something bad about you, it's like they can't because it's like, hey, there's nothing wrong with this person. He's walking the walk and talking the talk, you know. They can't find. The people trust you. They know you don't cheat, steal, cuss. They know your character. They know who you are and how you behave, how you act, and how you walk. I like this quote. If you want someone to live godly, then you live godly. Then you'll earn the right to be heard, and your life, your actions, your character will reinforce what you teach. Our sound speech should be from a good study and knowledge of Scripture so that we can convince people of the truth rather than starting an argument to get our view across or our point across. It's like, hey, the word's there, you know, patience, kind, loving. It's like Jesus said it. God says it. It's right here. Let's talk about it. Let's, you know, I can show you the truth. I can show you God's Word. Let's go on to verse 9. Exhort again, parakaleo, to call. This time we're switching from another aspect in the church, another character that's in the church. It's like people who were bond servants. It's another, you could say, another occupation, another back in those days, a bond servant was actually not a slave. It would be more like you had a debt to pay and you were unable to pay it. Well, you would, or your family needed money and you need to borrow some money. Well, we'll send Jimmy to go work for you, and Jimmy would become the bondservant. You know, he'd have to go work for this person or this family or this outfit for a certain amount of time, and at the end of that time would come. Yeah, hey Jimmy, your debt's paid. You're free to go. You know, you can go back home. Well, I have no home left to go to. You've treated me so good. I like working here for you. You know, it's like it's good food. It's a good home. Then I'd like to stay if you let me. You know, the bondservant with the master would then take him to the doorpost, put his ear up against the doorpost, and punch it out with an awl. And am I saying this right, Pastor? Would he be adopted into that family, or he would just be
adopted
as accepted as a permanent member of the family? And there it would go. I mean, hey, it's like I'm treated so good here, I don't want to go. But anyway, the bond servants coming into the church is, you know, it's they were verse 9, to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back. And let's finish it off with verse 10. Not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that again, who gets the glory and honor? That they adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. He gets the glory and honor. We urge the bondservants to obey, caring about what you are told to do. Maybe even find the good in it. I mean, if you're living for Jesus, you know, it's you're working for Jesus. If he's living his life out through you, it's be trustworthy, be responsible. Your master could look at you living out your Christian walk and say, hey, there's something different about him. He's doing everything I tell him to do. He doesn't get mad. His job's exemplary. Who can we think of in the Old Testament? It should be an easy one. I mean, who would this always happen to? He gets in a bad situation and God would rise him to the top right away.
Joseph,
right. He gets sold into slavery. He gets sold into slavery into Potiphar's home. Potiphar says, hey, look at the way he's walking with his God. It's like, I trust him. And right away, he went to the top. He went to the wife accuses him of something, throws him in the prison. Right away, the prison guards say, hey, this guy's helping us out. Look at what he's doing. It's like, he's in charge of the prison. And the next thing, the king hears about him. And it's, what's he doing in the prison? He's taking good care of the prison. But hey, there's somebody who can interpret your dreams. Somebody can tell you, you know, king. And he rises him to the top, you know, in adversity, in your character, your walk, in all this. I mean, the right living in the church, of course, this is the Old Testament. I mean, we're talking about Joseph. But right now, us. And if it's in our jobs. If the boss sees us, there's something different about us. We don't go into work and complain and dang it, I gotta go to work again. I gotta be here at 8 o'clock. You know, it's like you're always complaining about something. You're always loafing off. He catches you always in the break room instead of working. You know, it's like, is that a good character? If you call yourself a Christian, if you're in your Christian walk, is that showing our employer that there's something different in our lives? He's showing him the wrong thing, I say. All right? I should look, you know, the employer, the master, the employer, I should look into this Jesus. This is a good example of how us Christians should be bringing Jesus into our unemployment and our job. People would look at our work, see a happy, content worker, not one who is angry or manipulating. Again, our character. is to get a better position, you know, manipulating to get a better position. Yes, you work your way up, but in a good integrity sort of way, you know. Show good work enthusiasm so others will look at you and say, hey, there's something about different about his work ethic. He's different. Work out your faith in Christ by example. And again, by doing so, you in turn give God, his word, the glory and the honor. Okay, now I'm going to just, we've got through the first 10 there, but I just want to take, just tie it in with a little side thing here. Now, it's, again, with our character, with our speech, everything Paul's telling Titus to be looking for here, to be teaching and by example be giving. It's a speech, conduct, action, our life, which Christ is at the center, why it matters. At salvation, everything we've built, okay, everything we've built is on the world. When we come to Christ, he comes in here and he tears the house down. He tears everything up that the world has built, and he starts with a brand new cornerstone. He's the cornerstone of everything he's building up. And as he sanctifies, as he makes us more holy like himself, little by little he builds us up, brick by brick. Okay? He begins building upon it day by day with our deeds and with our motives. Are they right? Are they wrong? Are we using the right building material? Are we using hay, wood, and stubble? Or are we using God's word, and our actions are matching everything we're doing? Our house is being built little by little. Let's go to take you to just real quick to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. They may all look good, and it just depends on the materials we use. Again, it's like, are we building a good house with good character? It might look good from the outside, but what's happening on the inside?
Dwayne,
yeah.
A house is only good as its foundation.
There you go. Yep. So chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5, and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Okay? So we should carefully consider what we're using as our building materials, okay? This is just the I don't know what you want to call it. The world offers many philosophies. We think we can mix up a little bit of those philosophies, a little bit of the world, and a little bit of Scripture, and we have sort of a good little Christian walk, a good little Christian life. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Paul warns us that if anyone thinks he's wise in this age, he's a fool. Okay? God will destroy everything that is derived from the world rather than God will destroy everything we use that is derived from this world rather than from the truth of his word. Okay? Building a solid house of faith on the foundation of Christ is a lifelong process. Through prayer, meditation on Scripture, we learn to know and love our Heavenly Father and what pleases him. Okay? As we are transformed through his Spirit, he gives us the power. Our attitudes and actions become more obedient, more godly. Our life should be established on the foundation of Christ, with righteous attitudes and actions empowered by the Holy Spirit. Such actions and attitudes that are building our house of faith will stand firm in this life, our character again. It's like what we're standing for right now. It'll stand firm when people come and say, you call yourself a Christian. It's like, well, it's like, hey, what are you doing? This guy's doing his work right, you know. You're working right at work. You're living right at home. You're living right in the church. When people, there's nothing to condemn your life. There's nothing for people to look and say, hey, you know, well, hey, he's doing that. Hey, he's doing that. If we're walking with God, if we're walking with Christ, it's like he empowers us to get past the sin, the temptations for sin, and lead us on a good, godly walk. Success, okay. The house of faith will stand firm in this life and be worthy of the reward in the next. It's just what I just... some of us, we're gonna get there and we're gonna be. Can you imagine being in front of Christ and He says, "Hey, we're gonna burn this house down now. We're gonna see what you built it with. You know, is it wood, hay, stubble, or is it good, the foundation of My word?" And some of us, He's gonna say, "Come closer," and He's gonna take the barbecue lighter and He's gonna go like that, okay? And it's gonna just go poof. He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You know, enter into My kingdom." And there's going to be some that you see the angels flying around and they got fire extinguishers and they're back about 50 feet and Jesus Himself is going like that, you know, and you're wondering what's going on. And all that's left, he picks it up and he said, can you imagine the look on Jesus, looking into Jesus's eyes and seeing and thinking, "Hey, everything I built on, this is all that's left." And I would hate to think that maybe I might hear the words, "Be gone from Me, I never knew you," you know? Because your house wasn't built on a good, solid foundation of God and His Word, you know? So, I don't know. We can only imagine, again, seeing Jesus face to face. And I don't want that to happen to me. Good sound instruction, good sound doctrine. How to live. Paul is telling Titus that you be the example. I'd like us to remember the verses we read in this chapter 2. Paul's instructions, ultimately God's instructions for us, for rightly living. I'll close with this. Remember, people watch us. What we say and do affects them more than you may know, than you can imagine. That's why it's so important to make sure our attitude, our speech, and our conduct reflect Jesus Christ. Let me close in a word of prayer.